Hey guys, before we get into the show, I'd like to take a moment to introduce our podcast partners, Script Up. Script Up is a new coverage service created to help screenwriters improve their writing and unlock the potential in their stories through detailed feedback reports and video call consultations. I have personally vetted their services, and I can honestly tell you they will provide a detailed analysis of your script, along with useful notes and even a biography of the reader, so you know exactly who is reading your script. Head to scriptupstudio.com and enter discount code TSN10 for 10% off today. And now let's get to the show. Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to the Screenwriters Network podcast. The Screenwriters Network is the largest Discord server of screenwriters in the world. And on this show, we interview members of the community. I'm your host, Smish, and today we're going to be talking to Logan Martin. His script, Meat, was number one on the 2017 Blood List. He's also known as King Default in the server. Welcome to the show, Logan. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. So I just want to give our listeners a little history on you. So you wrote this script called Meat, which is about a young couple who decide to live off the grid, and they hunt and eat their own food. And then one day the wife decides she doesn't want to eat meat anymore. Then some trippy stuff happens. The hunter become the hunted, and this drives a wedge between the happy couple. Okay, so you wrote this script, and the way that I came to know about it is because you sent it into a site called Script Shadow, which is a blog that reviews amateur screenplays from unrepped writers. So on September 17th, 2017, Carson reviewed your script and gave it the coveted impressive rating, thus becoming the first amateur script to make it into his top 25 in over 5 years. So, Logan, my first question for you is, what happened next? What happened after you got that impressive rating on Script Shadow?
Well, the hurricane was happening in Florida at the time. So I was actually in North Carolina with my aunt and uncle and my girlfriend while it was happening. And they live in like the mountains in North Carolina, so they have like horrible internet. So I was like really struggling to like, you know, be able to like deal with the situation at the time.
Wow.
But it was just crazy seeing so many people react to it, because I had only posted my script on the screenwriting subreddit for feedback before. And of course, you know, I would usually get like one or two comments.
Mm-hmm.
But then he gave it this amazing review. I got emails from a few people who, I mean, I didn't know anything at the time. I mean, I had only been writing scripts for like 9 months. And so I didn't know what I was doing at all. But Scott Stoops and Jake Wagner at Good Fear contacted me.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked with them on like the Monday after their review came out, or a few days after the review came out, and they signed me, and then everything happened from there. They sent it out, and UTA, Jordan Lawner and Charlie Ferraro liked it enough to sign me too. And then Jack Heller at Assemble Media picked up the script, and it all happened in like 2 months, I think. And it was, I mean, I didn't have anything to do with it. I just wrote the script, but it was crazy.
Wow. Well, one would argue that you had everything to do with it, because it's awesome, I mean, script. But yeah, no, that's crazy. So Jake Wagner and Scott Stoops at Good Fear, they're managers, right? So
yes, I'm only managed by Scott Stoops now, though.
Scott Stoops. Okay, cool. So you got a manager, you got an agent, and then Jack Heller from Assemble Media, which is a production company who has produced like Bone Tomahawk and mm-hmm. Brawl and Cellblock 99 and Dragged Across Concrete. Did they option the script, or did they purchase it?
Yeah, they optioned it.
They optioned it. Cool. Can I ask how long the option is for?
2.5 years.
Hey, wait, that's almost coming up, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll see. I love Jack, though. He's, you know, I think he's working really hard to get the script made. And, you know, it's gone through a bunch of steps and it just hasn't exactly happened yet. But I have confidence in Jack. I believe he'll get it made and get it made really well.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like he's got amazing experience. So it must be really exciting to know that someone is out there trying to get your script made.
It was, I mean, like I said, I had had, before the script shadow review, I had basically had nobody read my stuff. So it was just incredibly surprising and I just couldn't believe it when it happened.
Yeah, I'll bet. So the script shadow website is run by Carson Reeves, who does all the reviews. Did he, you know, reach out to you after that review or do anything further to help you out? Or did it just happen after the review that, you know, the managers contacted you and that was it?
I believe he, yes, he, we talked on the phone one or two times afterwards and he gave me some advice on what to do in regards to like signing managers and everything. Cause I didn't know it. I'm like I said, I didn't know anything.
That can be scary.
Yeah. And so I emailed him and talked to him on the phone a couple times and he sent it. I know, I'm pretty sure he sent it out to some people. I had somebody else who sent it out to a couple people after the script shadow review, but Scott, got it from somebody else in the industry though, who sent it to him, sent him the link to Script Shadow to check out.
Interesting.
So, and like I see questions on like the screenwriting subreddit and stuff about like, do people in the industry read sites like this? And it's like, dude, yes, they do. Believe me, they are looking for scripts that, I mean, they're looking for good scripts. And it's not, and like people are worried, like, what if they read it and don't like it? Like, if they don't like your script, they're going to quit reading in 2 pages. Like, so don't worry about them, like, remembering your script as being bad. They're not going to remember it if it's bad.
Yeah, totally.
Can't be afraid to put your scripts out.
Yeah, you got to put it out there. Otherwise, it'll never get discovered, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I was so nervous to submit me to Script Shadow. I had not really done anything much like that. So that's what I would say to everybody is like, don't be afraid. You have to get people to read your scripts. Otherwise nobody will ever read them. So
totally. Well, I mean, that segues into another question I have, because your script Meet was actually really polarizing on Script Shadow.
Yeah.
So it got this impressive rating and like people voted for your script to get the review from Carson. So obviously the majority of people, I would say, thought it was very good, but there were a lot of people who just didn't get it. And they were very passionate about leaving negative comments, which I was like, wow, seriously? Like, this is weird. Like, I'm just going to say a few things that people said, because I want to know how you deal with negative feedback. So someone said, you can't hunt deer in the spring or summer. Okay, so I guess your facts, maybe they're, I don't know if they were right. Then the dialogue is too on the nose. It's boring. Nothing happens. How do you deal with that negative feedback? Like, do you have any advice on how to have a thick skin?
Well, of course, all that, you know, reading stuff where people have, you know, actual feedback and everything is really helpful. And in the like 3 days after, in the weekend after the review came out, I had already written, like, because the version of Script Shadow is 72 pages.
Right.
And in the weekend after the review, using the feedback that Carson had given and everybody had given, I had already written like the 90-page version that was on the blacklist, because, you know, I already had this story that clearly had something that people, at least some people, were connecting to. But as far as the, you know, just straight negative comments that don't really even add anything to the conversation, they do. I mean, it hurts. I mean, I worked hard on the script, and it was something that it was a subject matter that I've dealt with my entire life and I really care about, and have always felt that there that it was underrepresented in storytelling. And but the way I dealt with it was just reading multiple times the comments that were so negative that it was funny, right? So like, there's a comment on the post that compares reading the meat to because of how much Carson hyped it up to working the guy, some guy who like worked his way up the Scientology ladder and got to read like the secret texts by the founder and was like, is this a test because of how bad they were or whatever? That's what they compared reading meat to. So oh it's like, God. I mean, how can you even like take something like that seriously? It's just ridiculous. Right. But yeah, so that's what I did. I just tried to focus on seeing it was funny because of how mm-hmm. mad people were that they didn't like my script.
That's awesome. I think that's really good advice. I mean, it can be hard. Like you said, you put a lot of work into it. It's your baby. This one in particular, it has a subject matter that you're passionate about. So it probably hurts even more to read that negative feedback. But then you've got, you know, all this success happening. So it's like, okay, people that matter and can make things happen for you are saying this is good. So I'm guessing that helped a lot with shutting out all these negative comments, right?
Oh, I mean, it's when I realized who Goodfear was and that they wanted to sign me, I wasn't thinking about the negative comments anymore.
Yeah, totally. Take that, haters. Okay, so let's see. That was in September of 2017. You ended up being number one on the Blood List, which is a list of the top horror screenplays. Does that do anything for you? I mean, your script has already been optioned. So what's that like when you then find out you're on the Blood List?
Well, I mean, it was cool. And, you know, based on what I was hearing, I was hoping that I would just be on it. You know, or I was before the year end lists came out, I was hoping I'd be on one of them, that Meat would get on one of them, because I thought that it had a, you know, a chance because it was, you know, seemed a lot different than most scripts. So, but then when it was number one on the Blood List, I was really excited and it was really cool. And and then when it got on the Hit List and the Blacklist too, even though on the Blacklist it was pretty low, it was so awesome. It was like, yeah. I mean, all it did was just add to the confirmation of like, okay, this is a story that people actually care about.
Yeah.
And think can actually have an impact on people. So it was really cool. And the coolest part about the year end list was like just the short clip from, you know, somebody in the industry that they send out to like announce the scripts or whatever. That was really cool, since I like happened to get Diablo Cody.
Yes. Yeah, so when the Blacklist came out, they sent out they posted a video for every single announcement with like a celebrity writer or director announcing it. And yours was Diablo Cody, who announced that Meat was on the Blacklist. She said, "Now that is some fucking original screenwriting." She also said that you give her hope for the industry. And she compared you writing Meat to Quentin Tarantino writing Reservoir Dogs, meaning that could be your break-in script. You were working at a movie theater when this was going on, right? Like, what was that like?
I mean, I really, honestly, I do not think when you tell people stuff like that they believe you. I don't think that people really understood when I told them. I mean, the couple mm-hmm. people who I was like closer with or whatever, but I think most people think you're just like exaggerating.
Right. You're talking about like civilians, right? People who aren't screenwriters.
Yeah, people who have no knowledge of like the industry or anything.
Yeah, and they don't know what the Blacklist is.
You know, like me, I'm super knowledgeable about the industry. Yeah. I knew everything at the time.
Did you submit Meat to any contest before you posted it or sent it to Script Shadow?
No.
No, okay.
I had sent my first script that I had written to Nicole and Austin.
Yep.
But after that, I hadn't sent any others.
Okay. Yeah, your first script was in the top 20% at Nicole, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty sweet also.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. I mean, it's something that it's like you're like excited about, but it's not good enough to where it like really, you know, moves. It just tells you like, okay, you know, like I'm doing okay. You know, that's how I felt at the time is
right.
Now that I've gotten this, I can see that this is not pointless.
Yeah.
And that I'm actually, you know, maybe getting better.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's one of the good things about contests, even if like, you know, you don't end up optioning your script or anything like that as a result. It definitely helps build your confidence.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely my weakest point most of the time. I mean, confidence is I would say it's the most important thing with writing. I mean, I have no problem just, you know, writing. I mean, I can write something bad right now. You know, I can bust out like 10 pages in like 2 hours, but it's not going to be good because I'm not, you know, prepared or anything.
Do you still doubt yourself sometimes, doubt your abilities or your talents as a screenwriter despite the success that you've had?
Every day.
Wow, really?
Yes, for sure.
Oh man.
And it's only gotten worse, honestly. So.
Oh no.
We'll see.
Why is that? Like, is it too much to live up to now? Is the pressure of putting out a great script? Like, what do you think your weaknesses are?
I mean, my biggest weakness is definitely put way too much pressure on myself. I also have just some life issues that have made things really hard for the last couple of years. But I would say that, I mean, there's a lot of failure in this kind of job or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean,
a lot of rejection.
It's a lot of failure for, obviously, you know. It's a lot of failure.
I'm a big
and then,
failure.
You know, some successes. We're all big failures. I mean, you can't be a writer if you don't want to be a failure. So
totally. No, I think that's good to know that, you know, even so, I mean, I'm not happy that you feel that way, but it's good to know that even people who have had success still have doubts, still experience failure and rejection. That doesn't end. You know, you have to keep going. I assume, you know, you've been writing more scripts since Meet, and you're probably, I assume, chasing that same success. Have you had anything that's come close to Meet yet?
Well, I wrote a script for the Fizz facility, who
what is that?
Made 47 Meters Down and a good amount. They're a British company. They produce a lot of stuff, but and then I wrote a VR TV like short for STX Films.
Oh, neat.
Which their VR department shut down like a short time after that. So, but yeah,
unrelated to your writing.
Yeah, they read it and we're like, well, it's over now.
It's over.
I've not written something that I feel is as good as Meet.
Okay. So Meet tackles the ethics of meat eating and the negativity surrounding vegetarianism.
Mm-hmm.
Do you always write things that you're passionate about, or do you ever just think about marketability?
Well, I mean, given Meat, I don't think I think of marketability nearly enough. I mean, when I wrote, you know, before I wrote Meat, I had written just romantic tragedies, basically, which is one of my favorite genres. I was quickly, you know, learning that nobody is going to pay attention to a romantic tragedy from a completely unknown writer. And everyone had always said that horror was the easiest way to break in. So I was like, okay, I'll write a commercial horror movie. And that's what Meat was to me. I was thinking, you know, this has, you know, some jump scares in it and everything. This is like commercial. And then, people did not think it was commercial, like the least commercial thing ever. So I don't know. I mean, I think the most important thing when it comes to writing is caring about it. It's the only thing that matters. If you don't care about what you're writing, then it's probably not going to turn out very good.
Yeah. Are you a vegetarian?
Yeah. That's what I said earlier, that I've been dealing with like the issue of vegetarian for my whole life, is that like I grew up in rural North Dakota, I just never really liked much meat, and it led to a lot of awkward situations. And when I was little, like me feeling like very out of place a lot of the time. Because I mean, I don't think people really like think about how big of a deal like things like food is to families and stuff, right? Like,
yeah.
You go to like a grandparent's dinner and they made like pot roast or whatever, they're not going to be pleased that you're not going to eat any of it,
right?
So I had always felt that like disconnect, and then I had stopped eating meat completely like 3 years ago. No, maybe like a year before I wrote Meat. And then I had read Animal Farm in the beginning of 2017. And I thought it was pretty cool. And I mean, I had heard about it, obviously, everything. But then I read this book, this Korean novel, and I love Korean literature. I read this Korean novel called The Vegetarian by Han Kang. And it was amazing. I mean, it's the best book I've ever read to me. And
wow.
It has this huge influence on me. And so I kind of just like took, you know, my life in regards to, you know, meat and vegetarianism and everything, and then took Animal Farm and took The Vegetarian and just made my own story that fit with what I knew.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you mentioned like, you know, going to your grandparents' house for dinner and they made a pot roast. There's a scene in Meat where the couple who's living off the grid gets invited to have dinner at the neighbor's house. And there's that awkward, you know, moment of, you know, what can we eat? Like, what is she going to make? And so I can see how, you know, your life experiences have inspired a lot of what happens in Meat.
Yeah, well, I mean, for people who haven't like lived, you know, in the country, in the Midwest or whatever, there are many times when I was younger that people told me that they'd never met somebody who didn't eat meat. I mean, because I mean, it's just not normal in those places. You know, in California, it's like, you know, totally normal.
Oh, yeah.
People aren't cool. Shocked by it at all. But in North Dakota, in like, you know, in a town of 350, a graduating class of 11 people, nobody is, it's not, there aren't very many people like that. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awkward when someone says, I've never met someone like you. I remember when I was young, I'm adopted, and that was a really awkward thing. I mean, it's not the same, but you know, I remember in grade 5, this girl was like, oh, I've never met someone like you before. No, she said, I've never met one of you before.
That's the worst possible way to say that.
Isn't it? I mean, you're in grade 5, so, you know, what do kids know? But
yeah.
I'm 38 years old, and I still remember that sentence. Well,
yeah, of course.
So, yeah, I mean, that's, so I can like, kind of relate.
That's, like, the dumbest way you could say that, but kids don't really know what they're saying, so.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully kids are better these days. Probably not,
hopefully.
But yeah.
I think that's definitely something that has changed.
It's a lot more common
in this country, so.
Yeah. So, Meat, you mentioned, was 72 pages, which is super short. But then, like, over the course of the weekend, you got it up to 90. I know on the blacklist it's 92 pages. So what did you do to beef it up?
I just took basically all the advice and that was on Script Shadow and kind of funneled it down to what I thought would actually improve the script and what I thought would actually fit with the script. Because, mm-hmm. you know, when you have 300 comments and like 150 of them are talking about the script and what they liked and didn't like, you're going to get tons of stuff that won't work, right?
Right.
People misinterpreting the story, people clearly not getting what the story actually is. But there's a lot of people who had interesting ideas and everything, you know, and simple, like, you know, a lot of those problems in scripts are honestly just quick fixes that take 10 seconds. Like somebody was annoyed that it didn't specify what type of gun it was. And I was just like, okay, I guess. But so, you know, I don't know. But it does add to the story, stuff like that, right? But so that's why I just basically read everything that everybody had said except for the comments that were, you know, being meanies.
Yeah.
And
negative comments are not helpful, guys.
Yeah. And just took all of it and decided what I thought actually. And I already, look, when I wrote the script, I was purposely trying to make it as short as possible. The first draft of it was like 50 pages. Because I knew that after I had started writing it, I knew that the scenes that I had found were strong enough and I liked them enough that I was going to be able to just create the story around it. And because I already knew the ending going into it. And that's the most important part for me is the ending. Because if you don't have an ending, I just feel like you don't know where it's going. And if you have an ending, then you have, you know exactly where it's going and you can start wherever you want.
Okay, cool. So did your manager guide you at all, or your agent, with rewriting it once they came on board? Because it wasn't on the blacklist till December. So has it changed at all since that weekend that you did those rewrites?
So yeah. So actually when I did the rewrites, I had in the time that it took to get on Script Shadow, I had written an alternate lead up to the ending. The last 10 pages were different. And so I had these two versions, and I had them read both, and then they liked the original one. But I had already written the 90 page when I went to them. So they didn't advise me. I mean, I think there's probably a couple things, small things. But I don't think there was anything major that they advised me on, no.
Okay. So they just had a couple of tiny notes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Well, that's pretty good. If they just like it how it is, that must be nice to be done with it.
Mm-hmm. And I did a little work on it for Jack over the months. When we had a director that was attached before and stuff like that. So
what kind of stuff did Jack want changed?
It was something similar to some people's sentiment in the comments on Script Shadow, where just a little bit more non-depressing stuff. I guess a few
happy moments between the couple, that kind of thing.
Yeah, because I mean, I guess rereading it, you know, a million times later after people say that, I guess I can see a little bit, but that it seemed kind of dreary and miserable. Mm-hmm. I think if you actually picture the movie and see how beautiful it all would be and how amazing this environment could look, it would feel a lot less dreary, I guess.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I can see how people would think that. They didn't really have much fun. I think there was one time when the girls smiled.
Yeah.
They're good.
Well, there's some, I mean, that's kind of what I was getting across, is that this is hard. Living off the grid is hard. It's not fun. You know what I mean? It's a lot of work. I mean, people don't realize how hard it is to do something like this. And, you know, Ben and Rain in the story they're trying to take it slow. Right, they've been doing it for a few years and they still haven't even cut out town, right? So they still get flour and stuff from town and they need tools and stuff, and so they're taking it slow, which is what I did I chose that because I wanted people to see that, you know, these are people from the city, but they're smart enough to realize that they're not going to be able to just jump into this and be able to get, you know, do it.
Yeah, that's really smart. It definitely makes it feel a lot more realistic, I think.
Yeah, that's what I wanted. So cool. Good.
All right. This is more of a fun question. Your script, Meat, has a red font on the cover and it also has red font inside when we're looking through the scope of a rifle. There's maybe at least one mention of camera angles. You can say ECU, which is extreme close up. So do you think of yourself as a rule breaker when it comes to screenwriting?
Well, so when I started writing, I, you know, I obviously didn't know anybody who wrote anything. And so I went to the screenwriters meetup, like a half an hour from where I was living, and with my first script. And I was very excited. And basically, they read the first 30 pages, and basically all I got was a lot of notes on formatting and everything. And I went back home, and I was so annoyed because I just was like, I told them that I had not been writing for very long, and that like I wasn't looking for formatting help. I can figure that out online, just like I had figured out everything else online up until that point. I wanted to know information of how to make the story better, but it's so hard to get people past bad formatting. And so I was like, when I was at home and I was trying to like figure out what to do and like try to get over it, and I was just had the thought like, fine, if people don't want camera directions or whatever, I'll 90% of the time I'll do whatever I can to just write exactly what I want to people to picture in their head when they read it. And so that's what I try to do, but there are still, I mean, screenwriting is a very constrained format. And there are still things, I think it's all about taking the constraints of the format of screenwriting and using it to your advantage, right? So like the ECU you mentioned, I thought it was okay to do that in that scene because it was a cooking montage, right? So, in ECU explained like, okay, we're like on like the cells of this piece of meat that is cooking, you know, because that's what cooking shows are all like, you know. And I love cooking shows, and I've watched them my whole life. And I used to want to be a chef. Like, I love cooking. And I think it's all about just using what you have to your advantage. And as far as like the red font, I had written it and I had used italics. And I didn't have anybody to read it. So my mom's a medical transcriptionist, so I had her read it for grammar. And I asked her what she thought of the ending, and she didn't understand that the ending shot was through a scope. And even though I had had a note or whatever, but it's just too, like, I'm sure you know, it's too hard to read italics or like notice that it's italics in Courier. And I was like, well, that's not going to work, because that's the whole point of the whole script is the ending shot. And so I was like, how can I do this? How can I make it so that somebody reading this will be unable to ignore that it's through a scope? And I thought I could make the text red, you know, blood and meat and everything. And I mean, that's what I'm going for anyway. So I just changed that. And I'm like, I had used different fonts for the title and everything before. And I was like, what doesn't show what this movie's about? What shows what meat means to me? And that's why I used that text as the title font, is because in my mind, that's what like meat is to me. It's, you know, gruesome and bloody and a lot worse than people talk about.
Yeah. Well, that's a good answer.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Okay, so you're probably going to be known as the meat guy, at least in screenwriting circles, for some time to come.
Yeah.
You know, it's 2020 now, and we still call you the meat guy, at least in the Discord server. Whenever we're talking about you, it's the meat guy. Who's Logan Martin? The meat guy. Oh, right. The meat guy. Is that annoying?
No, it's not. I mean, it's honestly, it's like funny because it's like the opposite, obviously, because I don't eat meat or anything.
Vegetarian.
And then, but it's also just like, you know, I'm horrible with names. I totally get not remembering names. So I go, oh, yeah, the meat guy. You know, meat. So that's just funny to me. So,
okay, that's good. So, does your manager encourage you to write different genres or different formats like TV, or do you just do whatever you want?
I work with Scott a good amount on scripts. it's kind of like both worlds, right? Where you're trying to just figure out stuff that you want to do and maybe take it to them later and say, look, I think I'm going to write this. What do you guys think of this? Or things like that you like come up, hey, let's, you know, come up with an idea together and try to figure it out. It's, I mean, whatever works at the time. And we've done a bunch of different like strategies of it.
Cool. Okay, this question is from National 2080. He's a moderator in our server. His mic wasn't working, so I'm just going to read out his question. He says, I just want to say I love meat. I think that it's a great spec, and I would love to know more about Logan's outlining and development process that he wound up with such an interesting structure and story.
Yeah, so what I usually do when I do with meat is that I come up with some really try to come up with some really interesting visuals, right? So in Meat, I came up with the ending shot, which was the most important, and I came up with some other scenes that I knew would take place at certain points in the story, and then I just kind of let the story unfold between those scenes, important parts of the story. So that's me.
Well, would you say, is that like a beat sheet? Because a beat sheet could be like 10, you know, moments, or is it just like 10 scenes?
I take the scenes and I put them in order in a document. And then I have other ideas and like how I think the story will play out separately. It's just like idea of it. And then I just kind of sew the scenes together.
Cool.
Because I think more important than a script, honestly, more important than a script being good is having unforgettable moments. Because if I watch a movie and, you know, it's, you know, pretty good, you know, like a 6 out of 10 or whatever, right? Where it's enjoyable, but it's not like amazing. That movie is going to be totally different if there's even like one or two really memorable scenes. I'm going to feel completely different about that movie, because in writing, all that matters is scenes being, you know, is memory, is people remembering. I'll never forget the last 15 minutes of Annihilation, because it was, I saw it in theaters, and it was one of the most amazing theater experiences I've ever had. And it was so much better than the rest of the movie to me that I think the movie's amazing because of the last 15 minutes.
Wow. Well, the challenge is getting people to stay for those last 15 minutes, or, you know, make it to page 75 so we can see all that awesome stuff.
Yeah, that's why you need to put some good scenes at the beginning too.
Word. So what are you working on now? What's next for you?
So I have a few things that are in the works that I can't really talk about, but I'm trying to figure out another kind of thriller / horror script that would be kind of in a similar tone as Meat, where people in a bad situation getting increasingly worse. Weird stuff going on. I'm trying to figure out, it centers around a guy who gets hired to protect a little town who mostly does like sheep herding, to protect their livestock from animals. And that's the like placement for it.
Cool.
So it would have to do more to do with like animals, but it has a lot to do with a lot of things, but yeah, more like, you know, kind of organic horror like Meat was.
Cool. Sweet. Well, Logan, if you don't mind sticking around, I have a few more fun questions I'd love to ask you, which will be available to our VIP members only as bonus content. But for now, tell everyone where they can learn more about you. Do you have a website, Twitter? What's your Discord name?
My Discord name is King Default, which is just a super old Xbox Live game. Or name. I used to have a Twitter, but I just recently deleted it because I'm just getting really sick of the internet in a lot of ways. Social media. Snap. So not really. Really have anywhere.
So Discord is the only way that you guys can communicate with Logan. We've got them all to ourselves.
Yeah.
That's sweet. Okay. Well, thank you again for joining us. It was a pleasure having you, Logan, and congratulations on your success. Listeners, if you enjoy the podcast, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, share it on social media, join the Discord server, and please consider supporting us on Patreon so you can get access to that sweet, sweet bonus content. I'm your host, Smish, saying peace out and keep on writing.